You and your partner are here to act as my bodyguards until the election is over.
You don't need us for that. You've got armed men at your gates and probably quite a few more scattered around the house. And if you'd still felt the need for a professional bodyguard, there are any number of agencies in Haven that could have provided you with one. You asked for us specifically, despite our record. Why us, Adamant? What can we do for you that your own men can't?
Adamant leaned back in his chair, and some of his strength seemed to go out of him for a moment, only to return again as he lifted his eyes and met Hawk's gaze squarely.
Two main reasons, Captain Hawk. Firstly, there have been death threats made against me and my wife. Quite nasty threats. Normally, I wouldn't worry too much. Elections always bring out the cranks. But I have reason to believe that these threats may be genuine. There have been three separate attempts on my life already, all of them quite professional. Stefan tells me there are whispers that the attacks were sanctioned by Counselor Hardcastle himself. Secondly, it seems I have a traitor among my people. Someone has been leaking information, important information, about my comings and goings and my security arrangements. That person has also been embezzling money from my campaign funds. According to Stefan's investigations, it's been going on for some months. Small amounts at first, but growing larger all the time. What evidence we have been able to piece together suggests that the traitor has to be someone fairly close to me. My friends, my servants, my fellow campaign workers. Someone I trusted has betrayed me. I want you two to act as my bodyguard and identify the traitor.
Hawk and Fisher surged to their feet, reaching for their weapons.
Danny!
Adamant jumped up from his chair and ran for the door. Hawk got there first and yanked the door open. Out in the hall, it was raining blood. Thick crimson gobbets materialized near the ceiling and poured down with unrelenting ferocity. The walls ran with blood. The rugs were already soaked. The stench was sickening.
Danny!
Danielle had been caught halfway up the stairs. She was drenched in blood. Her dress was ruined, and thick rivulets of gore ran out of her matted hair and down her face. She ran down the stairs to Adamant, and he held her in his arms, glaring about him through the pouring blood. Hawk and Fisher stood back to back in the middle of the hall, weapons at the ready, but there was only the blood streaming down around them, thick and heavy. Medley flailed about him, as though trying to swap the falling drops of blood like flies.
Get your wife out of here. This is sorcerer's work.
Adamant started to hurry Danielle toward the front door and then stopped short as a dark shape began to materialize between them and the door. The falling blood ran together, drop joining with drop to form the beginnings of a body. In the space of a few moments, it grew arms and legs, and grew into a hunched, misshapen figure, something like a man, but the proportions were all wrong. It had huge teeth and claws, and swirling dark clots of blood where its eyes should have been. It moved slowly toward its prey, its body heaving and swelling with every movement. Hawk stepped forward and cut it with his axe. The heavy steel blade sliced through the creature's neck and out again without slowing, sending a wave of blood splashing against the wall. The creature stood its ground unaffected. It was only blood, nothing more. Its substance ran away onto the floor, but blood continued falling from the ceiling to replenish it. Hawk and Fisher both cut at the figure, and it laughed silently at them. It lashed out at Hawk with a dripping arm. Hawk braced himself and met the blow with his axe. Even so, the impact sent him staggering backwards. The creature had weight and substance when it chose to. It started toward Hawk, ignoring Fisher's attempts to draw its attention to it. It struck at Hawk again, and he ducked under the blow at the last moment. Its claws dug ragged furrows in the wall paneling. Hawk scuttled away.
Damn, magic bastard.
The creature turned to follow Hawk.
Right. We're no match for this kind of magic. Adamant, get your people together and then herd them out the back door. We'll try and buy you some time. Most sendings can't travel far from where they materialize. Maybe we can outrun the thing.
Adamant nodded quickly and urged his wife down the hall away from the creature. The rain of blood suddenly increased. Through the crimson haze, Hawk could just make out a second shape beginning to form between them and the other exit. Hawk wiped blood from his face and took a firmer grip on his axe.
Behind you, Hawk!
Hawk just started to turn when the first blood creature swept over him like a wave and all the world went red as the creature enveloped him. He staggered back a pace, scrabbling frantically at the blood that covered his face, cutting off his air. Fisher was quickly at his side, trying to wipe the blood away from his nose and mouth, but it resisted her efforts and clung to his face like taffy. Hawk fell forward onto his hands and knees, shaking his head frantically as his lungs screamed for air. He caught a glimpse of Adamant hovering before him and gestured weakly for him to make a run for the front door while he had the chance. Adamant hesitated, then lifting his head, he raised his voice in a shout.
Mortis! Help us!
A blast of freezing air suddenly swept through the hall, a bitter, icy wind that froze the falling blood into shimmering scarlet crystals. The creature enveloping Hawk cracked apart around him and fell away in hundreds of crimson slivers. Hawk stayed hunched on his knees for a moment, gratefully drawing the icy air into his lungs, then rose slowly to his feet and looked around him. The bloody rain had stopped, and the hall was covered in a sheen of crimson ice. Fisher stood nearby, beating scarlet ice from her cloak. Adamant, Medley, and Danielle looked shocked, but otherwise unhurt. Beyond them stood the second blood creature, caught half-formed by the icy wind. It stood, crouching and incomplete, like an insane sculpture carved from blood-stained ice. Hawk walked over to it and hit it once with his axe. It fell apart and littered the hall floor with jagged shards of crimson ice. Hawk kicked a few of them around, just to be sure, and then turned to face Adamant.
All right, Sir Adamant. I think there are a few questions that need answering. Like, what was all that about, and who or what is Mortis?
Yes. I was hoping you wouldn't have to know about him, but I think you'd better meet him.
May I suggest we get out of these clothes first? I'm soaked and half-frozen, and this dress is ruined.
She has a point. I look like I've been skinny-dipping in a slaughterhouse.
I'm sure we can find you and your partner some fresh clothes. Come with me, Captain Fisher, and I'll see what I can dig out for you. James, you look after Captain Hawk.
Fisher and Danielle disappeared up the stairs together. Hawk looked at Adamant.
All right, first a change of clothes, but then I want to meet Mortis. No more delays, is that clear?
Of course, Captain. But do try and make allowances for Mortis's temper. He's been dead for some 5 months now, and it hasn't done a thing for his disposition.